Yeah.
You have received your reward.
That's
the
way.
You don't mind me, I'm just paying. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Hallelujah. Just
a few things to share with us, you know. We just have a few minutes left, so I believe it will be sufficient to go through what I have to say. Mm-hmm. So it's just a sort of encouragement and to inspire us and to keep us moving forward in God. And I'll just give you a title called What Awaits You. That's the title of the
What Awaits You.
Yeah, What Awaits You.
Hmm.
So it's the title that I'll just give to it. Together we are going to read some few verses of the scripture, and then I will just say what I have to say. So let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. We are going to read Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, but we are not reading everything. We just want to pick some verses there, and then we'll see what the Lord has for us. So in Revelation chapter 2, we'll start from, we'll read verse 7, we'll read verse 11, we'll read verse 17, and we'll read verse 26. Then we'll go to chapter 3, we're going to read verse 5, we'll read verse 12, and then we would read verse 21. So we'll read it together.
Verse 7.
Yeah, Revelation 2. We'll read verse 7. Are we all there?
Yes, sir.
Revelation 2, 7.
He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Verse 11.
He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death.
Verse 17.
He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. So him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, glory.
And will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name is written, which no man knoweth, save he that received it. Verse 26.
And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end,
I will
give power over the nations.
And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers,
even as I received of my Father.
Hallelujah.
Chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same
shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
Verse 12.
He that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name.
Verse 21.
So he that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame him, and am set down with my Father in his throne.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen. From those verses we've read, there was one thing that was common there. What is that? To him that overcometh. And looking at that verse, those you know, particular verses that we read, we saw that it was written to the church in those days. But I tell you, brethren, it's a word that's also written to us. Amen? Because we're a church. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You notice in the verse, the first one that we read, that was Revelations 2. It said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Then it started under sin and said, to him. How come he said churches? Now it's to him. Showing that him there is not talking about a man or woman gender-wise. It's talking about the church of the living God. And each and every one of us, both individually and corporately, we are a church. We are the temple of God. We are where God dwells. But that's not the main emphasis. The main emphasis is what we've rightly pointed out, which is to him that overcometh. Meaning, everything, there's a end goal for whatever we are doing, for whatever spiritual activity we are undertaking. Prayers, reading of the word, fellowshipping with brethren. Name every spiritual activity that gives glory to God. There is a goal, there is an end goal, there is a prize within. And that is why Paul will say, I press towards the mark for the prize of what?
The high
calling of God. And those things we have read are those things that await us as believers. Like I said, it's an encouragement to every one of us to, you know, keep on pressing in God. Because whatever we are doing is not in vain. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 will tell us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sow, that he will reap. And like I said, this is also written to us as believers. Yes, it may have been written to the churches in Ephesus, Philadelphia, Laodicea, and all those things. But to us, it is written to us. It's a word that we can take for now. It's a word that we can take and, you know, accustom it to ourselves. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant of our fathers in the wilderness. He said they were baptized to Moses in the cloud and the sea. He said they ate of the same spiritual meal. They drank of the same spiritual drink. They drank from that rock that followed them everywhere they go, and said that rock is Jesus. But it says, to all of them, God was not pleased. Why? Because of what they desired. He said, but this is written for example, so that we will not do what? Will not lust after those evil things they lusted after. And that is why today I would just, you know, like to share with us on what the Lord expects of us. Now, the main emphasis is looking at the characteristics of who an overcomer is. Mean if it says to him that overcome, meaning there is a claiming of the prize, and the act of claiming that prize is the act of overcoming, is the act of victory. For Jesus, this is the word of Christ to the churches, different churches. To him that overcome, he that overcome, I will give him a crown of life. He that overcome, I will give him a name which no man has had. He that overcome, I will make him sit with me on my throne with my father. To him that overcome, I will give him a rod of iron, and he will dash in pieces nations. This is a lively hope that God has given unto us. This is something every believer can paste in the wall of his mind and look towards attaining those prizes, attaining those goals that Christ has, you know, has sent to us as believers. But this is not a time to give up. This is not a time to relent on those things we've been, you know, involving ourselves with. If you listen, anytime you of recent when Uncle Sam was around, there was one major thing he was making emphasis on. He said, "Keep doing what you are doing."
Mm-hmm.
If we follow the messages very well, he will say, "Keep doing what you are doing." After the service, we greet him. We will say, "Keep doing what you are doing. Keep doing what you are doing." And that is the attitude that the Lord expects of us today as believers. Let's keep doing what we are doing. Because at the end of the day, we are not doing it in vain. We are not doing it for nothing. We are not doing it because we are doing it. We are doing it because there is a prize that awaits us. There is something that awaits us. There is something that is waiting for us to... there is something that is waiting for us for us to come and claim. And those are those things that we've read in these scriptures. To him that overcome. Time will not permit us to go into the, you know, the details of those things. But this is the emphasis I want to make. What is the characteristics of the overcomers? And we'll see that in Luke chapter 9. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. That is where the main burden of this, like I said, it's an encouragement. It's not a teaching. It's just to encourage us, to inspire us, to follow on, to know God more. Luke chapter 9. We're going to read from verse 57 to 62. Yeah, Luke chapter 9 from verse 57 to 62. It says, "And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Verse 60. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home, at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. When we look at this scripture that we've read, we can see Jesus addressing different categories of people there. And from this particular scripture, we'll find out the kind of characteristics that the Lord expects of us, even at this time. Starting from verse 57, it says, It came to pass that a man came unto him and said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I want to ask us, is that the attitude we have today?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the nature we have taken up on today, that whatsoever it is, I will follow God? The scripture says the wind blowing where he listed. And we don't know where it's coming from, we don't know where it's going. He says, so are those that are led by the Spirit of God. This man came here and said, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you wherever you go. Come rain, come sunshine, winter, spring, summer, autumn, when there's plague, when there's no plague, when there's money, when there's no money, when there's food, when there's no food, when I'm happy, when I'm not happy. When I have a family, I don't have a family. When I feel like praying, when I don't feel like praying. when I feel like studying my Bible, when I don't feel like studying my Bible, when I feel like going to church, when I don't feel like going to church, I still want to follow you to the end. This was the mindset of this man. This was the default setting of the man, wherever you go. And Jesus told him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man does not have anywhere to lay. He said, I don't mind. I want to follow you wherever you go. That is the characteristic that God wants us to take up at this time and at this moment. God is looking for those who will be bearded because of him. Bearding does not mean they cut off their head. Bearding means people are ready to forsake everything. People who are not ready to be caught up with this, with the affairs of the world. People who are ready to, whether they have or they don't have, their main focus is following God, following Christ. And this is number one thing that the Lord wants us to, you know, take up as individuals. This is the attitude that God wants us to take up as believers. There are more things that will be unveiled onto the earth. There are more events that will unfold in this earth that we are. But one thing that makes a believer stand sure is the attitude and the mindset he has towards God. And the first mindset and the attitude that God wants us to have is what? Is to take up that garment of whatever it costs, I'm going to follow you. Wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. Whatever it is that will cost me, I'm ready to follow you to the end. That is an attitude of an overcomer. Anyone who follow this step, anyone who would take up this attitude, I'm very sure that person will do what? Will be among those people, the overcomer that is listed in Revelation. Taking up the attitude. You know, one of the things that makes a believer not to be serious with his work with God, or not say, well, we would follow, it's little by little, all those things. It's because they have their heart set at other things. They have their heart set at other things that the world gives to them. But look at it now. Look at the event that is currently happening. This virus of a thing. Look at the way it curbed people. Now somebody that likes football, that has to watch soccer every morning, every Sunday morning. instead of him to go to church those days when there's no virus, he will stay and watch Premier League. But now, footballers are catching virus. Everyone is on lockdown. So where is this? Where is the football is going to watch? You know? People who are just about their work, your work from mine is just work. The office say, please don't come. Take the laptop, go. Stay at home. And we see a lot of time today, in this present day, when this virus came out, everybody is now praying, you know, believers, unbelievers. Everybody is on prayer. Now let's the virus is gone in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Let's say their prayer was answered and then the virus is gone. And I tell you assuredly, those same people that are leaning down and praying will go back to their life as if nothing has happened. Exactly. And then they will continue their lives. But that is not the attitude that Lord wants for us believers. If there is plague where there is no plague, it is still God. Mm-hmm. Pandemic should not stop us from working with God. Mm-hmm. Every prayer we've raised here today are very, very important prayers that we should always keep, you know, we should always pray. And especially the prayer our sister raised, saying, Lord, use this event, you know, to turn the hearts of people to you. It's now people remember that they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High.
Yeah, like that.
It's now they remember. When there was nothing, they didn't remember that. But that is not the attitude of an overcomer. We follow the Lord wherever He goes. Wherever He leads us, we follow Him. Wherever He goes, we are going to, whatever He says we will do, we should do, we are going to do it. We will not seek God when we don't feel convenient. That's when we don't want to seek God. You know, when things are not working in our favor, that's when we now want to press God. No, that is not how it should be. Even when we are swimming in wealth, it should not change that mindset. It should not change that attitude that I want to seek God. I want to seek Him. When things are going on fine, it should not change the character of seeking God and following Him wholeheartedly. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. That is the first attitude the Lord wants us to have as overcomers. To Him that overcometh. One garment we must put on is a garment of doggedness. To follow God wherever, whatever. Wherever we find ourselves, we will still want to follow God. When we are close to the brethren, when we are not close to the brethren, we want to follow God. For this certain man that we don't know his name, for him to come and say, I want to follow you, Jesus gave him the condition, I don't have a place to sleep on. You know, this was the same condition Jesus gave to Andrew and his brothers when John said, behold the Lamb. They said, we want to follow you. Jesus told them, look, I don't have a place to stay. They said, we'll follow you like that. This was the same condition that Jesus, you know, gave to Andrew and his brothers. And it's the same thing he's saying here in Luke. And it's the same condition he's giving to us. Say, okay, you follow me. Things are not going to be palatable, but are you ready to do it? Things are not going to be smooth as we think it's going to be, but are we ready to do that? Are we ready to still follow? There will be ups and downs. The world will hate you. They will persecute you. There's persecution ahead. There's a lot of things that will come. There's a lot of, you know, problems here and there. But are you still willing? Are you still ready to follow? It's the same condition. That's the condition of it. It never changed. And Hebrews will tell us, he says, seeing that we are surrounded by this so great cloud of witnesses, those great cloud of witnesses are companies of overcomers. Amen. These are people who have followed God despite the conditions that they met themselves in. Starting with Abel. Abel lived a short life. His life was cut short. Why? Because he was killed by... Because he don't want to serve God. Yeah? Just offering a good sacrifice to God. And you kill me. Have I done anything wrong in offering a better sacrifice unto God? But his life was... Despite that, Abraham was barren for years, but he did not relent. Enoch, the world was in wickedness. You know, the whole world was in wickedness. But he said, that's your own. Be wicked to yourself. I want to follow God. I want to know God. I want to talk about Elijah. Everybody was worshipping idols. But he said, no, it's God that I want to follow. We want to talk about David. We want to talk about Samson. It's in Hebrews. We look at those men. They are, the Bible describes them as great cloud of witnesses. So we have no excuse. We have no say. We have no excuse that we can rely on and say, okay, no, you know, it's people that are worshipping idols. It was too much. I had no option that to worship idol too. God would point you. I say, Gideon, his father had idols. I had to tell him to put down the idols of his father's house. Or you tell Jesus, because I don't have fruit of the womb. Say, your father Abraham waited on me for years. He said, no, I don't have the luxury. Lord, you are what? Oh Lord, because I'm a king. David too was a king. So we have no excuse. You know, there's no place. That day when God is, everybody is giving account, you will not be able to give excuse because you are saying it. Somebody will be coming out and say, hello, I'm here. This same thing went through. I passed through the same thing too. My brother hated me, you know, my family members. Abel will come out and say, look, my own kill me. He slaughtered me at an early age. So what do you have to say? At least your own did not kill you. You lived long. So what are you saying? So every one of them. So it's a sin that we have this great count of weaknesses. What should we do? We should lay aside every weight and sin that easily besets us. Let us run this race. Let us follow Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I will follow you wherever you go. Let's look at the next one. Verse 59. Now, this was Jesus talking to another one. You see the different, you know, category. One came to him and said, I want to follow you. Now, there's one that Jesus just took interest in and said, okay, you follow me. Look at what he said. Verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me to go first and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go down and preach the kingdom of God. This is another person that God took interest in. Jesus took interest in him. You know, the first man we saw, he went to meet Jesus and said, I want to follow you. And now this one, God just decide, you are a wonderful, you know, personality. Follow me. But look at the excuse he said. Jesus, you know what, I will follow you. But let me go and bury my, who died?
Father.
His father. And then Jesus said, come, let the dead bury the dead. You are alive. Let the dead bury the dead. But this is what I expect of you. Go and preach the kingdom of God. He's in that category of people who are the characteristic God wants us to take here is a characteristic of people who are not torn between two opinions. The fact that he was closer to where Jesus saw him means he has been following Jesus. But he still had something he's still looking forward to, you know. He still had his father, the dead. Things that that defiling. He did not know he was consecrated unto God. But he said, I want to go and bury the dead. And the Nazareth vow says what?
You shall not touch
the dead. So there are things that we need to let go of. Things that the Bible called dead. Dead. Things that defile us as individuals. Things that, you know, that slows us down in our walk with God. We take one step today, we take three steps back. We take a leap today, you know, from, let's say, level one, we catapult to level four. And before we know it, we are back to level 0.5, not even back to one. Let the dead bury the dead. It's time to let go of those things that easily weigh us down. Those things that beset us. Those things that defile us. Those things that make us lose focus. Now, you know it was not focus. God had to point to him. Jesus had to point to him that this is the focus. Preach the gospel. Go and preach the gospel of the, not to bury the dead. A lot of time we are operating on another, you know, we are operating, how would I put this? A lot of time we are not even in alignment with God. Do we know the purpose why God has called us? He did not know the purpose why God, Jesus said, follow me. Jesus told him, follow me. He said, no, I want to go and bury the dead. And Jesus had to point to him that this is why I'm calling you, to go and preach the kingdom of God. Have we even had time to sort the face of God and say, Lord, what is your purpose for me on earth? Why is it that you've taken interest in me? Why is it that you've taken interest to do what, to annex me unto yourself? Why do you just, you know, want to use me? What is my purpose here? Jesus had to point to him that this is why I'm telling you to follow me, to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And this time is a time where you may be in God, you can be born again, but you are not doing his will. You may be speaking in tongues, doing all sorts of things, but we are not doing his will. This is time to set our eyes on the focus. Paul, he was preaching in Acts. When look, when you study the book of Acts, when Paul was saved and everything, he was preaching. He was doing all sorts of things, and God was moving mightily. But the day God revealed unto him, said, this is what I want you to do. When he came back, what was the first thing he said? Look, hey, church, I don't want to know anything about you except Christ and him crucified. And from that point, if you read from that scripture, from that point to the last letter Paul wrote, you find that his message changed completely from what he said in Acts. Christ and him crucified. Is it that what he said in Acts is not correct? It's correct, but that was not the will of God for him at that point. That's not what God wanted him to do. So he said, when God chose to reveal his son to me, what did he do? I separated myself to Arabia. I confined in no flesh and blood. So God chose the time to say, okay, Paul, you are a faithful servant, but this is what I want you to do. This is why I've saved you. This is why I've rescued you from that wickedness. And when he came back, it was Christ and him crucified. He began to unveil what Christ has done. And the same thing applies to us today. We need to take time and seek the face of God to know his purpose for us. Each and every one of us has a role to play in the kingdom of God. As we are seated here, we have a role. There's a blueprint that God has laid down for us and said, this is what I want you to do in regards to my kingdom. He has looked at an animal and said, okay, let's this person, let's give him this. This is what he's going to do. This is what he needs to do. And we need to know those things. And when we know those things, we know what God wants. We know the purpose by which God has saved us. Our focus on things that does not help us, things that make us far away from God, our focus will be shifted from those things. Now this guy, Jesus had to tell him, the reason why I called you to follow me is to go and preach the kingdom of God, not to go and bury the dead. You are not a burial pastor. you're a preacher to preach the kingdom of God. So let those people who want to bury the dead, let them bury the dead. You are alive in me. You should not have anything to do with the dead. You should not have anything to do with dead. You are alive in me. Go and preach the word of God. Go and preach the power of God unto salvation, which is the gospel. And that is under characteristics of an overcomer. We need to know. An overcomer knows the purpose by which God has saved him.
Yes.
Is not distracted by any other thing. His focus is, I want to do the will of the Father. This is why God has called me. God has called me to be an intercessor, and I will faithfully do that which God has called me. It's not time to compare ourselves to anybody. It is time to do that which God has, you know, laid in our hands. We have a mantle that God has given unto us. We have a charge that God has given unto us. Go, preach the kingdom. Go, heal the sick. Go, teach my people. Go, pray for the nations. Go, do this. Go. Some people, all what they need is just, okay, take these words, and through your words, people will come to God. So your words is just to save people. When they come, say anymore, you give them Jesus. Bah! Jesus, and they come to God. That's just what God has given to some people. Some people is just, I've given you the shepherdic spirit. When people are in, we need to know what God has called us for. We have a calling. Don't mind all those pastors that say, I'm called. Everyone has a calling. They just lie to their members and tell them, I'm called of God. If I'm not called of God, or by the anointing. I will tell the member in that church, you too, you have a calling. Go and seek God for your calling. And say, God, what's my calling? I'm not just here to come and sit down, or to come and work there. Or I'm not just here to come and listen to somebody. I believe I have a role in your kingdom. What is my role? Jesus had to point to this person, his role. Your role here is to preach the kingdom, not to bury the dead. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. The other person, the third person, now this one is another person that say, I'll follow thee. This one, he said he wants to follow and then gave his excuse. And another said, this verse is the one. Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell, which I at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So he came to Jesus, the third person. He said, Lord Jesus, I understand what you said, though. You have oneness, I will follow you. I have a role to play. Yes, I know. But I'll follow you. But you know what? Just give me a few minutes. Let me go and just tell my family members, you know. Bye bye. And you know, I may not see you for God knows, you know. But Jesus had to tell him, no man. Whatever the status you have, whatever, no man that's put his hand on the plow. You said you want to follow Jesus. You can't look back again. You can't say, okay, let me try, you know. You say you want to follow Jesus. You say, okay, just one last drink. One last drink.
One last shot.
And then I will die. Okay, let me just, one last party. And then I will. No. The day we say, I want to follow you, there is a seal on that word. You know, the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. So whatever we say, they are beings taking record of whatever we say. So the day we made that decision, Lord, I want to follow you, this boy has released him. He has indicated I want to follow. Oh yeah, put it down, register it. And then you say, okay, no, let me just go and greet, you know, my friends now. Let me just tell them, you know, let's just have a. God said, no man that's placed his hand on the plow, you know, what, and is looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We've decided we want to follow God. There's no going back.
No way. Hallelujah.
There's no going back.
No going back.
Peter said, I want us to read something in Peter. This what we read in Peter will explain that that particular scripture. Where it says it's better that you've never had the gospel of God. Okay. I think it should be first.
help me with that, please. So, and the scripture just came into my mind, so.
Second Peter
2:21. Yeah, look at me. I'm even looking at this here and I'm not seeing it. Yes. So this scripture I want to read will explain those the verse 60 and 61 that Christ and 60, verse 61 and 62 that we read in Luke chapter 9. So I will read from Peter said some powerful things here. I'll read from verse 9. It's a very long something, just for us to get the picture. 2 Peter 2, verse 9. It says, "And the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, and the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spot they are and blemish, spotting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls as arts they have exercised with cautious practices, cursed children, which are forsaking the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozor, which loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. They dumped us speaking as man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they are not through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome of the same, is he brought in bondage. For if, now this is where the explanation started from. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened according to them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again. And the soul that was washed to a wallowing in the mire. Peter rightly explained what Jesus was saying. If after we've come through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we still find ourselves looking back, going to bid farewell, you know, going back to those old things, Peter described it as a dog going back to his own vomit. Have you seen dog eating vomit before? Very disgusting. Dog vomit like, boah, he will go. And then he'll come back when he's hungry and there's no food, he'll come and eat it. Very, very disgusting. So when Jesus said, no man put his hand on the plow, look back, he's fit for the kingdom. Please, who, if you see that dog eating, will you allow him to come inside your house? No. If you won't allow that dog to come, how much more God? You know, it's so disgusting to God that when we've come to the knowledge of Christ, we've seen what God has done for us. We've said we want to follow him. We still go back to those things in which he has rescued us from. It makes God unhappy. And he says anyone who is doing that is not fit. So in God, there's no going back. In Christ Jesus, there's no looking back. The commandment the angels gave to Lot and his wife was that, go to the mountains. Lot was still arguing, say, no, the cave. There's a cave. The angel said, forget about the cave, just go to the mountain. And then he said, oh, there's a city here. Okay, just go. But one thing, do not look back. Yeah. Do not look back. Don't attempt to look back. But what happened to Lot's wife?
She looked back.
And she became a pillar of salt. She became useless. And people started trampling, you know.
Can I ask a question, though? Just real fast. What does the pillar of salt signify?
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
When the Bible's described Lot's wife as the pillar of salt. The pillar of salt there signified that, number one, she's, like I said, she's useless to the people in such a way that salt, the Bible describes her as salt of the world, have you? And it said, if his salt loses its savor, what will happen? It can't be effective. So at that point in time, being a pillar of salt is that you're just there. Figure it. I'm just trying to make it simple, not to go into not to go into very complicated dimension, just to bring it home. Somebody can be in a congregation and can just be there as pillar of salt. You are not doing anything. You are not bearing forth fruit. You know what Lot's wife would have become even after that? If she had not looked back, let's just imagine she has not looked back. You know what would have become of her? God might have had mercy on Lot and, you know, gave him a lot. I'm sure she would have been able to look over her daughters and they would not be able to bring out Moab. But because of her absence, because of disobedience, they breeded an enemy to God's people, Moabites. That's where it came from. But if imagine Lot's wife had not looked back and she was there. The daughters weren't there. They weren't there to say, let's live with our father. So, pillar of salt is outside. Wind come, blow, dust, everything. It's useless. People cannot take it and go and cook what they want to cook. Because it's just as if you are pouring sand in your food. Imagine a salt pour on the ground now and people are trampling over, car pass. The salt is there, you can see it. But can you take that salt and go and use it to say sea-free salt? No. So some people can be as a pillar of salt because they are looking back, going back to what God has commanded them to be. So they are not bringing forth fruit. Where they are is not even of, is not making effect in their life. They are in the fellowship, but they are not growing. Jesus. The fellowship is not having impact in their life. They are not having impact on the fellowship. It's just there. They are just there. They are just looking. Come and pray. I don't know how to pray. How long? You've been in the fellowship for 2 years now. You don't know how to pray. Okay, let's pray for you. No. We want to come and visit you. I'm not at home. Okay, when will you be at home? I can't say for now. At least there's a day you are free. You are just there. We are just seeing you, but it has no effect. It has no effect. It has no impact. That is not an attitude of an overcomer. Wherever we are, amen. It says, iron sharpens iron. So a friend sharpens the countenance of his friend. We are to exhibit the sweetness of God. We are to make impact in our environment. We can't just come into this world and, you know, not make an impact. Each one of us have one or two things, you know, one or two things the Lord has required us to be involved in. Whether in our local assembly, wherever we find ourselves, we must definitely make an impact. We must leave a footprint that I came into this world and I did that which God asked me to do. Jesus came into this world and he left a major impact. Major one. Till today, we are still feeling the impact. Till today. The disciples came into this world, even though they came as men, but when they met with Jesus, when they came to the knowledge of God, they didn't look back again. Peter almost looked back when he said, I want to go back fishing. But Jesus came and said, hey, oh boy, what are you doing? Have you forgotten what I told you? I say, on this rock will I build my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail over you. You say you want to go out fishing. I don't want to become a pillar of salt. His name will just be written that Peter was one of his disciples, but he left. Judas is a typical example of someone who came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but looked back. He was being defied. He looked back on his old, the love of money was something God rescued him from. And he still looked back and say, just one transaction. Mm-hmm. Businessman, just one transaction with him. And that ended his life. The name Judah is a very good name, but nobody wants to give his son Judas to them. Nobody wants to call their children Judas to them. Judas means praise. Yeah. But imagine someone called you, hey, Judas coming. Nobody wants Judas because it's not useful. It's a good name. I say, brother Judas. It's a good name. It's a very wonderful name, but nobody is giving their children Judas because of the imprint he has left. So it's an example of pillar of salt. Example. A fine name, but no usefulness.
Sorry. I want to read that, three verses. Matthew 12:43. So when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he said, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and vanished. Then he goeth and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall he be unto this wicked generation. So I just wanted to put that back to say the first state of the man where the other evil spirits is much better. And that second state where there are now 7 more wicked spirits, including the first one, that are now dwelling inside our man after he already been delivered.
That is what happened to somebody who looked back. Imagine that. Sorry, I'm using this example. It may be disgusting, but I just have to say that dog died. that dog that went to eat his vomit. What the vomit will do inside his stomach will be worse than the state it was before.
Get disease.
So. One other characteristics that of believers, as characteristics of overcomers that the Lord will expect us, is people who are not
ready to look back. Look at how Jesus picked his disciples. Jesus was going. Matthew was so wonderful. He was a tax collector. He was collecting money. I want to imagine the amount of money he has collected that day, and Jesus just passed by and looked at him and said, "Follow me." Matthew dropped everything, and followed. He never went back to that post again. He never went back to that post again. Look at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was an example of a man. He wanted to see God. And Christ said, "Zacchaeus, today I will dine in your house." And then they went to Zacchaeus' house. And Zacchaeus said, "I've met Christ today. All the people I've cheated, I will repay back to them." And he gave them back. That was a transformation. He didn't return back to cheating. You didn't hear that story of Zacchaeus returning back to cheating. Men have walked this way and they've left impact. They've left, you know, an imprint in this earth. When you read God's generation, you see men that don't exploit for God. And the same way men have walked this way, they knew God and then they went back. We know examples of them. They lost focus. They removed themselves from alignment with God and they followed the ways of men. They followed the ways of selfishness. Look at Balaam, for example. Yeah, thank you. Balaam is a major example. You think Balaam was a false prophet? No. He was a genuine prophet of God. That God was speaking to him. He knew how to communicate with God. But then an unbeliever hired him. I said, "Okay, come and curse God's people." If I say, "Balak, this is what to do is not even possible." And then Balak said, "Okay, what if I give you a whole estate in Canada and then deposit $3 billion in your account, $3 billion in your account?" And you see Balaam look like he say, "A whole estate, real estate, that's money." He said, no, this is not possible. It's not going to. Okay, balance. Okay, let's do this. Half of my kingdom I'll give you. You know, half of the authority that I have, you'll be a nation, you'll be a prophet to my kingdom. You have right over the person, including that one I've stated before. Said, okay, add one more. And then he added another one. I said, okay, I'll get back to you. So can you imagine, he went to God and said, "God, they've called me to come and curse these people. You know, what do you think?" I wonder God will be looking and say, "Look at you. You came to ask me, say, should I go? Don't go now. What you want to go and curse my people? No, don't go." And he kept going. You know, he kept going. He was drawn to those things. He lost alignment with God. He lost the focus. Balaam would have been like Elijah. You know, Elijah was not, the Tishbites are not part of Israel. They are just like immigrants to Israel. And look at a mighty man that God raised from that place to set Israel back in order. Balaam would have just been like that. But the love of money, the love of, you know, of prosperity, wealth, greediness, turned his face away from God. God used donkey to speak to him. He didn't shake him. He still continued. And when he got there and he was cursing, God twisted his mouth, he was blessing. He said, "Balaam," he said, "I told you this thing cannot happen." He said, "But there's one thing, make them to sin." He exposed himself to be used of the devil. That is what happened when we say we are following God, but
we look back on those things that God has rescued us from. We open the door for the devil to use us, to harness us, to do that which is not appropriate in the sight of God. So an overcomer is watchful over his life, over his soul. Forget bidding farewell to anything. God has saved me. I'm saved. I don't want to go back. I don't want to even look at it. I don't want to think about it. So he said, Jesus, I'll follow you. He said, but let me go and bid farewell. Jesus said, I've come to bring separation to brothers, families, to mothers, to fathers. I've come to separate. I've come to separate you to those attachments. You know, as humans, we have attachments. You know, we have things that we can, you know, that we are just attached to. God said, I want. That's why I said the word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. It pierces to the dividing and asunder, even to the joint and to the bones and marrow. So the you know where your marrow is, it's not visible, it's inside the bone.
Yeah,
the word of God then can divide it. So that's what God came to do. He came to detach us from those, you know, those attachments, those silly attachments that we have that weigh us down and join us to himself. To join he came to detach the disciples. And he made them apostles, men, ordinary men. He turned them into mighty vessels in God's hands. He's still doing the same today. And those disciples, they got their reward for following God. Today, their name is written in the foundation. Foundation of the 12 apostles, their name is, they are written. He said to him that will come, I will not blot his name out of the book of life. The same reward is still awaiting us. Are we going to take it? Are we going to take it? If we have time, let's go back to that revelation and read those to him that overcome. Read it and just think about how it is, the way the Spirit interprets it to us. Let's read it. And we see that we have nothing to gain in this world than to follow Christ, than to follow God. So whatever we are doing today, the little effort we have been putting in is not a waste. Let's keep on pressing. Let's keep on pressing. He said to him that endure it to the end, he shall be saved. Let's keep on pressing. If it's that prayer we know how to pray, let's pray. If it's to, you know how to speak the word of God to them, please keep speaking. You know how to listen to men's messages? Listen to it. Let's keep on doing what we are doing because there is a reward, there is a price. Our effort, God will not let our effort go in vain.
No way. In the name of Jesus.
He will not let it go in vain. He's looking. He said, Jesus told the woman by, this is the last thing I'll say, he said, by at the well, the woman of Samaria, what did he tell? He said, the hour cometh, and now is, that those who worship God will worship him what? In spirit and in truth. And look at what he said. He said, these are such that the Father seeketh. These are the category of people that the Father is looking for. The category of overcomers are people who worship God in spirit and in truth. I was telling a brother last week, Sunday, I said, look, the main thing that people need to address in this hour and this time is their heart's disposition. Once you have set your heart right, God has no option than to help you. I said, look at the life of David. David was a man with plenty of weaknesses and failures. But one thing was solid in his mind, his heart. His heart was towards God. And no wonder God said, he's a man after my heart. He's a man at love. David said, it is better for me to fall into the hands of God than for me to fall into the... That's the heart that is already, you know, joined to God. And so, despite his failures, he killed people, he murdered, he committed adultery, did a lot of things. One thing was always sure about David, he will run back to God. Because his heart was there. When he went back to God, well, the time he sinned against God, and God said, I'll punish you. I have 3 punishments. You choose one. He said, no problem, God. His heart's disposition was towards God. And that is what I want us to take today as a native. If we did not even take any, let our heart's disposition, let it be towards God. Once our heart is towards God, God will surely, he will surely help us. He said, I will put you in my right hand of righteousness. God is seeking for those people who, despite their weaknesses, their heart is towards him. When you look at their heart, it's just God that is there. When they look at the chambers of their heart, God fills everything up. Physically speaking, they have no strength of their own. They are weak here and there. They fall into one thing or the other, but the heart is just Lord. I will still follow you, irrespective of whatever I'm going through, I will still follow you. And that is the kind of heart disposition that the Lord wants at this time. And God will grant us grace.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I just thought to, you know, share that with us, and I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will brood it further in our hearts than what I've said today.
Mm-hmm.
As we go back to our you know, houses, please, I will encourage us to read that revelation very well, especially those verses that we read, to aim that. Let's see what is awaiting us. Let's see what God has prepared for us. If there are other time, we can go into those things and we'll see them. But individually, let's be, you know, let's not only be hearers of the word, let us also be doers of the word. God will help us in Jesus.
Amen.
When we're speaking about one of the categories of the people, one thing that comes across each and every one of them is that, you know, they were caught between two opinions. And in particular, the last one you mentioned, which was the person that was, said, was it the before Jesus made the statement, he wants to bid farewell. And you know, I want to point your attention to a man called Elisha. And after the mantle was to depart from Elijah, God told Elijah to go and look for Elisha. Now, something happened in 2 Kings. As I saw that, I just remembered the same exact scenario. We don't need to open it. Immediately, Elijah saw Elisha. He threw his mantle on him, just threw his cloak on him. And that was a spiritual communication. It was deep. And immediately Elisha said, please let me go and tell my father and mother goodbye. And Elijah told him, nobody is stopping you. You can go. Elijah was somebody that had no patience at all. You know, very, very clear. Say, you can go if you want to go. But Elisha understood. No. So Elisha changed his mind and decided not to go again. But what happened was that it was the mantle that was his focus. He wanted to get the mantle. Now, prophetically, the mantle is... God wanted to... The mantle does not just only speak of... In the courts of Pentecost, they refer to a mantle as an anointing, but it's much... much more than that in this sense, when we look at it from a prophetic life. But all the way, Elisha followed Elijah, and all his desire was to get at him. And you see, he was tried several times. This is like a full message, how God takes his people through tests, and distractions, legit distractions will come their way.
But let me skip all the way to the very final part. After he overcame everything, something happened. He was at the very point after he crossed the Jordan, and he saw chariots of fire come down. Now, pay attention to the fact that the chariots of fire were a distraction. And I titled that message, The Distractions of the Chariots of Fire. Those chariots of fire that came, they were good. They were legit. David makes mention of them in Psalm 68, where he said, let God arise. He said, the chariots of God are thousands and thousands and thousands of angels. They came to invade the earth. A whirlwind took Elijah up, and then the mantle fell to Elisha. So when the chariots of fire came, Elisha would have easily been distracted by it. The whirlwind picked Elijah up, but his eyes were still on the mantle that he wanted. The mantle is a firstborn right, and it speaks of the overcoming, the first fruit class from scripture. But I don't want to go into that. What I'm just trying to say is that when the mantle was taken up, his eyes, that guy wasn't distracted. He knew what he wanted. Elijah tried him 3 times. He refused to be distracted. The 50 sons of the prophets asked him, so will your master be taken up today? The 50 sons of the prophets are brethren. Are brethren. They were his own brethren too. He knew what he wanted. He knew what he wanted to press deeper into God, you know. And then the chariots of fire came, which are, it was also spiritual. You know, spiritual things sometimes can be disguised as a distraction. Do you know? Legit spiritual things could be distractions. For example, service could be a distraction. You could be so carried away with service and you forsake your secret. That's one of a distraction of the chariots of fire. But at the end of the day, his eyes were on the mantle. I love Elisha so much. It shows a man who really knew what he wanted. And he screamed, my father, my father. He saw them, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. But that's not my focus. I just want the mantle. And then the mantle fell on his body. And finally he received what he wanted. You see the progression from Gilgal to Bethel, those things have different connotations. But what I want to drive at is that an overcomer must have his eyes set on the mark, that which he wants. Paul said, I press towards the mark for the prize, irrespective of the distractions of the 50 sons of the prophet, irrespective of the crossing of the Jordan. All this was the processes that Elisha went through in 1 Kings. I adjure you to read it. And then, legit distraction came, the chariots of fire. His eyes were still on the first fruit class. He wanted to make it to the end, and he received the mantle, and it came upon him and covered his whole being. So, let us not be distracted. That's a very important factor. As being a believer, your eyes, when a believer is distracted, it's because the vision is not clear, and that's why we have to pray for the vision of the kingdom to be clear to us. If a Christian is still being enticed by the world, it's a sad thing. The prayer is, Lord, open my eyes to see you clearer. Amen. So let's refuse to be distracted, and let's pray for sight. Mm. Let's pray for sight. And when the devil knows it, he fears a man that understands and sees. He can't entice him anymore when the man can see. So I just wanted to hit on that. Let's refuse to be distracted. And little compromises here and there. Let's close those gaps and receive clear sight in the name of Jesus.
Amen. First, to you, and to you, what you said, and the scripture that came to me when while our brother was speaking was the one in Matthew 19:27. He says, then, and this was basically after Jesus had given a very, very dangerous statement where he said that the rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And, you know, and when his disciples heard it, they were afraid. We've entered now. You know, and even looking at the situation they were at, Jesus Christ had basically, in a way, if you were to look at it from a carnal sense, Jesus Christ was basically telling them, you are going to live poor your life if you follow me. From the earthly sense, on the earth, you are going to be poor, but spiritually, you are rich. So they didn't yet understand that, you know. And by reason of that, because if you even look, the disciples were still carnally minded in a way, to a certain degree, because their eyes had not yet fully captured the vision of what Christ was showing them, you know. Which actually now Peter asking here now says, okay, Jesus, we've done this. You said this one. One other day you preached the same one and almost everybody left. And now we waited on you. So we have forsaken all and followed thee. What is now, what are we now going to receive at the end of the day? What is our own
benefit?
We've remained this long. We've prayed, and you can even be able to even look at it personally. Say, we've prayed this long. I've done this, I've done that. There are sometimes even in my own life where I felt, Lord, I've prayed. Is it prayer? I've prayed. Is it this one? I've done. Is it this one? I've done. Where is the reward? And then it was as though the Lord even speaking to such a person through this scripture. He says, verily say I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone that have forsaken house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life.
Amen.
And many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So even that last statement, it can appear as though you are the person that is receiving less. You are the last person to actually receive. But mind you, there are some people now that even it appears on the earthen plane that they are seeming to manifest in one way or the other. It seems as though that what they are even doing is as though God is really showing that he's God in their own life. But if you were to look at it, the person that you may even be looking at may not even be necessarily keeping the will, or may not necessarily be doing the will of God according to that time, you know. And then you now that is being given the instruction, when the time will come for God to reward you, you will be shocked that even what you have now will even be far greater or even far lasting than that other person, you know. So it's just more so an encouragement to basically keep the vision before us, you know, especially of that which God has told us to do, to be diligent, irregardless of whatever the circumstances may be right now. You know, it may not be as fruitful, but God is set, of course, to reward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.